Just then, a horn beeped, and a crowd of people quickly separated, allowing the cargo van to pull alongside the truck, sandwiching the people between the wags. Sarah set the brake and exited the wag, running around to open the door for Hector, who handed her a wiggling bundle before climbing down from the wag.
Glad you folks arrived safely. I got worried when the SecMan hauled you out of the van. Everybody okay?
Sarah tucked the blanket tighter around the baby.
Certainly. They checked some papers Stephen had given us, then gave us an escort into the Vale as if we were royalty.
Whatever's in those boxes must be mighty important.
Wheat. Grains to plant this spring. Just a lot of raw wheat.
Sure.
Papers?
If you knew all of my biz, then you wouldn't need me.
Don't need you now.
The hunter loosened the lacings on his fur coat. Underneath, he wore tanned leather pants, shirt, and vest. A bandolier of ammo was slung across his chest. Two sets of belts rested on his hips, supporting a blaster and a hand axe, and the top of a complex tattoo was visible above his low-cut shirt. Stephen turned from the other man.
Well, here we are, safe at Front Royal, and I have more biz to do. Goodbye to you all. Perhaps we'll journey again sometime.
Not likely. Just remember our deal. You stay alive for as long as you stay quiet.
I remember everything, Outlander.
And Stephen executed a stiff-arm salute.
Farewell.
Then the fat man walked into the bustling crowds and was gone.
He a sack man?
Sarah rocked the baby gently in her arms. Hector shook his head in disbelief. Clem hooked his thumbs behind the bandolier.
Mice got teeth, and sometime they do bite.
Mildred gathered her backpack and kit.
I agree. We best be leaving. He'll be coming back with an escort, and it might not be wise if we were here to bother the SecMen in their many duties.
Hector slung his new long blaster over his shoulder.
We'll keep a watch on the fat man. Jane is asked to rock and toss him in the moat if necessary, but he won't be talking to any SecMen today.
Lady Healer, we can never thank you enough.
Tears made tiny diamonds in Sarah's black eyes.
Taking care of little Millie is more than enough.
Mildred hugged the woman.
If you need to find us, my cousin is named Miguel. He's a carpenter at a barrel maker's. I'll also be working there, hopefully.
You will be. Can feel it in my bones.
Mildred nodded.
I'll remember that name. Godspeed.
Good journey.
The group shook hands, and the family pushed its way into the crowd. Mildred caught glimpses of Hector amid the strangers, and then he was gone.
Time to go.
Mildred headed in a different direction than the others.
Where first?
Clem shortened his stride to match her pace. Then he quickened his walk to try to keep up with Mildred. She was short and stocky, but full of energy.
Nowhere.
She studied the parapets rising on every side. A single stone tower rose high above the other buildings, and she wondered what function it served. Just then, a clock began to chime the hour. Startled by the noise, Mildred double-checked the tower, but that wasn't the source. She recalled that Ryan had mentioned there was a clock tower in the exact middle of the Ville, so everybody could see it easily. The machine was the pride of the Ville, even if nowadays nobody had any conceivable use for precise schedules.
Let's just wander for a while, go with the flow and see where the crowds take us, then decide where to go next. A bar, maybe, or a tavern. We can learn a lot with our mouths closed and our ears open.
A quiet hunter eats regular.
Mildred patted the tall man on the shoulder.
True words, my friend. Maybe we can even find some place to buy food. Don't know about you, but I'm starving.
Clem frowned, touching his rumbling stomach.
Not gonna eat meat for a while. But bread and beer will do. Hell, maybe even some damn beans.
Strolling through the milling throng of the busy courtyard, the man and woman found the public market by following the noise. Shouting farmers were selling scrawny vegetables from wheelbarrows. Brewers offered drinks by the cup from an open keg of homemade beer. Nearby, an old man with a bedraggled guitar was pandering songs for a drink.
Any cigars?
Mildred asked a dealer whose table was covered with sun-dried leaves of tobacco. She had no idea the things were so enormous, well over a yard long and half as wide.
Just pipes.
He was carefully whittling a calabash from a piece of driftwood.
Damn. Oh, well.
Clem eyed the plugs of chaw dubiously. It was all third-grade lug, not worth an empty brass. Fishermen yelled about the freshness of their catch of the day. A hunter, dressed very similar to Clem, was dickering over the sale of an entire bear. Some wandering gaudy sluts were plying their trade in alleyways for the impatient. Small dogs and kids were constantly underfoot, tripping people. Hot taters were being sold straight from a little brick stove by a blind man. Gamblers rolled dice made from carved bone for tarnished bullets. Horse tackle and other leather goods were hawked by 100 people. A thief was caught stealing an arrow from a Fletcher and beaten to death on the spot by the Blue Shirts, as the people called the new sec men. The guards were carrying AK-47 assault rifles, the barrels gleaming with oil. Mildred and Clem moved quickly away. Everybody seemed to be trying to outshout the other hucksters, the noise level growing steadily. Clem was a bit apprehensive, but Mildred reveled in the chaos. Even crude civilization was better than none, and she had seen more than her share of that in Deathlands. Front Royal was obviously very prosperous. There was actually food for sale and open commerce. Just incredible. It was the new Manhattan of America. No wonder it was the center of so much attention. Then a line of chained slaves shuffled by, the overseer cracking her bullwhip across the backs of the sluggish. Mildred's hand went for her blaster, and she had to force herself to relax. She was here to gather info, not start a fight. Not wanting to draw attention by paying for food with ammo, they instead bartered the cured possum skin and a spare knife for a pair of decent shoes. Then they exchanged the shoes with a baker whose son was barefoot for all the stale bread they could carry. Half the bread bought them a dozen winter apples from a suspicious farmer. Pockets jammed full, Mildred and Clem ate slowly as they meandered through the market, sidling close to any group of folks arguing, and avoiding the sec men whenever possible. Mildred's ZKR was tucked out of sight, but the Enfield drew looks wherever they went.
Can you wrap that in your jacket?
Aside from the sec men, they were the only folks displaying firepower of any kind.
I wouldn't be able to reach it should the need arise.
Clem was finishing off an apple.
What kind of blaster do those blue boys have? Pretty fancy. Ain't never seen anything like that before.
I have.
But Mildred would say no more on the subject. Over the next couple of hours, they roamed from one end of the huge courtyard to the other, and then back again in a continuous circle, listening to the snatches of conversation with growing unease. Mildred gnawed on a heel of bread.
Awful lot of people hate the new Baron, and most can't understand why Nathan is letting him take over, even if he is the son of Ryan.
Lord Ryan, they say. Folks here seem to worship the guy.
Clem tossed away the apple core. A rat darted out of a drain, snatched it, and ran away, chased by a mangy dog.
Maybe Overton is just some guy who wants to be Baron, so he claims to be the son of a local hero to get his foot through the door.
Why? He got enough sec men and blasters to take this place if he wants to.
Does he?
Sure seems so.
Maybe that's why he's play-acting, trying a scam. He needs the whole Ville prosperous to feed that many.
Yeah, rabble will turn on you if they aren't happy. Then you got a real fight.
Could be. Only where did he get those brand new AK-47s? And where the hell does electricity come in on the deal?
Well, tell me what that is, maybe I know.
Just then, a busty, gaudy slut walked by, suggestively wiggling her hips and smiling at the men.
Whew! Ain't she something? Maybe I'd like living here.
Clem grinned, then he squinted.
Hey, what's happening over there? Some sort of speech?
Glancing around, Mildred spotted a growing crowd of people forming a half circle before a blank wall of the fortress.
Let's go see.
And she headed in that direction. Pushing their way to the front of the waiting mob, Mildred and Clem saw a line of sec men with rifles facing a man chained to the wall. The surface around the captive was heavily pockmarked with bullet holes. Another man in clean clothes and sporting a fancy blaster was reading off a list of crimes.
Speech hell. This be an execution.
Hush.
Mildred was trying to hear every word.
And so, as Baron of this Ville, I condemn you, Quinn Marley, to death by firing squad.
But I was only drunk, Lord Nathan. Just drunk is all.
Drunk while on guard duty, you mean? An unforgivable act of treason. This vill survived.